Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. It's me, Randy Big R Hire, aka Reagan Bush. Joining me, as always, live via satellite, we have Will Willenium Scoville.
What's up, Randy? How's it
What's
going?
What's going on?
Not much. We just watched one of my favorite movies.
Hell yeah. Tapeheads.
Yeah, Tapeheads.
And I am thrilled to introduce our guest, the wonderful Liz Green.
Hello. I'm so glad to be here to talk about this wonderful movie.
Thank you for coming on and bringing us, again, one of my favorite movies ever.
It's a classic.
I was hoping to cover it, and I'm glad I'm not the one showing it to someone for the first time. I'm glad you brought this to the table, because it's true fans of this movie are few and far between. So you're in good company.
Yes, it is a great one for sure.
This is really the only way to do this, I think, because like I am actually not a huge Tapeheads fan.
Yep.
And I know that you like it a lot, Will, and so I thought it'd be best. I know like Liz loves it, so like I was like, well, it'd be better to have two people be positive about this, and then instead of me being like, well,
to counteract,
yeah.
To balance things out, yeah.
Very quickly, this movie Tapeheads from 1988, directed by Bill Fishman, whose other big credit is the Car 54 Where Are You movie with David Johansen and John C. McGinley, which I've never seen it, but I remember it coming out.
Yeah.
So it is about it's John Cusack and Tim Robbins, who are brothers, question mark? Maybe just close friends? I don't know.
They're just really close friends.
Yeah, they're like, okay. Yeah.
So I could never figure that relationship out, but they go into the music video business, and it's a music video movie produced by Michael Nesmith of the Monkees.
Yes, yes. I think that was one of the reasons I got into it.
Because really?
I was like a super big Monkees phase in middle school. And then discovered that Mike Nesmith produced this. Who, side note, his mother invented liquid paper, right?
Yes, she did.
The minor trivia fact there. Yeah. Yeah, he's the water guy in there. He has a little quick cameo in there too, right?
So this is part of his string of movies that he produced, which includes Repo Man and what is that? That Time Rider is another one from his kind of string of movies. And then, of course, he did Elephant Parts, which was the precursor to MTV. He was a big proponent of music videos, and that fits firmly into this movie, which is a showcase for music video production.
Indeed.
So, Liz, you said you kind of found out about this through Mike Nesmith, or did you find out about it through another way?
I honestly, I was a big Cusack nerd.
You love Cusack.
I'll just fess up right there. Yeah, I mean, I was the one that, like, I would go on IMDb and print out, like, his, you know, filmography list and, like, go to Hastings and, like, try to find as many rare gems and, like, highlight them all off my list. So, I mean, that was on my list for a while. But, I mean, I feel like I can't remember if I found it at a store or if I had to, like, really search it out. I mean, it wasn't an easy one to find by any means. But I know I had read about it. And I know because it was, like, him and Robin. So it's, like, what a great cast, too. Mm-hmm. It's, like, yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love everything. Yeah. I was telling Randy, I was like, it's got so many good, like, little Easter eggs in it. And, like, every time you watch it, and it's like the epitome of what I was saying, like, for me, being raised primarily, like, we were pretty sheltered growing up, and we watched a lot of, like, Three Stooges and a lot of slapstick and, like, goofball comedy. And I feel like this is kind of, like, the 80s progression of, like, that, you know, like, because it's just kind of that, like, slapsticky, but it's just got so many funny little things that if you blink, you miss them. But, like, you know, just like the light bulb moment, you know, when he's in the middle of a bar and, you know, the light bulb comes on in the back. I don't know. There's just so many good little moments in that that movie.
When they come up with the name for their, was it Action Video or whatever?
Video Aces?
Video Aces. I already forgot. What's the band they love called?
Swanky Modes.
Swanky Modes. Because right when the movie started, she was like, Swanky Modes. And I was like, what? I've seen this now 3 times. This is only my 3rd time seeing it. I saw it back with the 2nd episode to bring up the fabled Weaver brothers. I watched this with Danny Weaver, the young, this was a better favorite of his. Weaver brother. Yeah. And I... I didn't like it then. I didn't like it much about a year ago when I watched it, but this time I eased up on, I just want so much to like it. This movie to me is like Buckaroo Banzai is another movie I think about a lot. Mm-hmm. Where just like it has its fans and I'm just not one of it. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's funny. Or good, you know?
I have not been able to get into that movie either. I've tried.
Buckaroo Banzai? Yeah.
Yeah. I've made a very good effort, you know, a very sincere effort to like that, and I just can't. It's hard, you know? It's got a lot of stuff I would like, and it's just, like, it doesn't fit together for me.
But, like, Repo Man, for instance, it's just more, Repo Man is more punk. I was talking to Liz about this. It's like, there's some sort of, like, Blues Brothers ass element to this.
Yeah.
And it also reminded me of this movie called O.C. and Stiggs. It's like Robert
Altman.
Robert Altman's worst movie.
Yeah.
But in that movie, O.C. and Stiggs are obsessed with King Sunny Aid. And it just sort of reminded me of that, where it was like, it's like just this movie, I think, would be remembered so much more if it actually had like Dead Kennedys and stuff, like if the soundtrack was just like fire. I mean, it's got Fishbone or whatever, but
Fishbone is in it, and then like Devo has that song Baby Doll, but they're like pretending to be the German
when they're throwing paint on them,
getting covered in paint, and I'm like, that is Devo doing that.
I was pointing that out. They've got like, we were talking about that because we were just saying how watching this, we were like, it just seems like now, especially the music seems so out of place for what we would have expected, you know, like as far as like the Swanky Modes and stuff, which I mean, like I know all the songs and they're classics for me now, but you know, like I'm singing along, but they're also very cheesy. And it was funny. I went online just like out of curiosity. I was like kind of Googling about like just the score and Fishbone and everything. And I went online earlier and it was like, sorry, I just totally blanked on what I was going to say. This happened, so I just apologize.
No worries. Right
now. You were talking about looking at Fishbone and stuff.
Yeah, I know. And I had a point to that.
Well, let me put it to you, Will, while Liz is thinking about this. Do you like Fishbone at all?
I don't dislike Fishbone, but I'm not into Fishbone.
I think Fishbone, this movie was how I heard about Fishbone. I had never really gotten into them. Yeah,
the movie I associate with Fishbone is, of course, Back to the Beach, where they do the Jamaica Ska song.
Of course, Back to the
Beach. You've never seen Back to the Beach?
I've seen Back to the Beach. Yeah. That's the Annette Funicello and
Frankie Avalon
reunion movie.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun, movie. Actually. Yeah, yeah. I like that movie.
But they do make an appearance in that movie in a big musical scene. And that's how I heard about Fishbone.
I heard about Fishbone because they're No Doubt's biggest influence, or biggest influence. And they're like a legendary ska punk band.
Yeah.
But I compared them to Los Lobos earlier when I was talking to Liz, where it's like, it's one of those bands where you hear about how legendary they are and you're like, oh, I cannot wait to hear this. And you finally hear it and it's like, wait, this is what that band is? Anyway, go on. What were you saying? I cut somebody off. No.
Oh, no, I still don't remember what I was going to say, so it's totally fine.
It's all good.
Happens.
It's fun that Fishbone did the score to this movie, for sure. I mean,
and just the fact that it's like, you have Mike Nesmith, who's obviously like a musical powerhouse, or fairly, right? I mean, he was like really the only musical one of the Monkees, right? Initially, like...
Him and...
Did Peter play?
I think Peter played instrument
okay.
too.
Okay. Well,
but
no, it's just interesting. I was going to say with the music though. Yeah. It's like, you have like, yeah, it's like, yeah, you have the option. It's like, you have all of these cameos. I mean, there's so many celebrities in this movie. It's pretty star studded when you go through like all the different little people that pop in throughout, you know? I mean, and I always forget how many people, but you go through that. Yeah. And it's like Dead Kennedys. You have Fishbone in there. You have like Devo doing music, but it's like, yeah, there's.
Weird Al and Ted Nugent show up.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I forgot Steve Ted Bader's Nugent.
From the Dead Boys was in there too. Was
like, oh yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see him. I just saw him in the cast list. I was like, oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ted Nugent.
They sneak him. I mean, they have him like throughout that whole movie. There's constantly like people snuck in that I forget are in there. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's people I don't even recognize in there, but like.
And Jessica Walters, right?
Oh, yes.
As Kmart.
Her wig falls off at one point.
When they're doing Limbo, yeah. Yeah.
In the Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles scene, which is a real restaurant.
Yes, that's what I was telling Randy. I was like, I'm pretty sure my dad told me that was a real place. It's out in California, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's very much a real place, like down in LA.
Saying, yeah, that's what I was saying.
Is that the real guy?
No, that's not the real guy.
Okay.
But one of the guys, there's a couple guys, they're the Hanson brothers. And they used to be like sometimes just the Hanson brothers, sometimes the Hanson brothers.
Not to be confused with Tulsa's Hanson brothers.
Not those Hanson. Or the Hanson from.
Recently disgraced Hanson brothers.
Are they anti-vax or something?
Oh, well yes, maybe. That too. But they're also racist. And yeah. It's just,
oh boy,
it's
a, great.
It's the, wonderful. Just Google Hanson gate and you can find all the stuff on Reddit. Not that I
was cheering for Hanson, but it's just like another.
Well,
do we have any good people, man?
I was a super fan. But the side note is that Randy saw that the director made one of Hanson's Christmas movies a couple years ago. The same director did, which is full circle for me, which is very bizarre. But
well, the Hanson brothers who are in this one of them was on
Slapshot, right?
Yeah, from Slapshot. One of them was on one of those late night talk shows as kind of the announcer. And I don't know which one because I don't watch any of them. So, but he was also in the Lady Ghostbusters movie. Like he showed up there. Hmm. He's a writer and a performer. And then if you know Gruber, who was the counselor in Freaks and Geeks, they used to do a lot of work with him. And I would see them on stand-up shows and doing sketch comedy and stuff. So a lot of little comedy people in here as well that kind of pop in. So, yeah, heavy, heavy cameo movie, which is super fun.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't know. There's just something about, like, the energy of the characters. Like, the characters are, like, bad dudes.
They are. They are not. Well... John Cusack is really sleazy.
Yeah, he's very sleazy.
Okay, I guess I'm going to counteract what I just said, but I do like, it's fun to see John Cusack get to do something like this because he's never like second fiddle. He's not like the crazy best friend in any other movie. He's the nerdy sycophant to Anthony Michael Hall and the movie, the rape movie, was it 16 candles? Yeah, but he never has a role like this ever again or before, and it's like it's fun to see him be sleazy. I was joking about how I think he modeled his look after Gomez Adams. I think.
Yeah, I mean he does. He's got that little mustache, and his hair is always fucking slicked back. And then, but like Tim Robbins is kind of the nerdy guy in this. Mm-hmm. He's like the tech guy.
Tim Robbins looks like Michael Ironside's main henchman in Total Recall.
Yes. Yeah.
He's got clear plastic glasses and
he's got like
sticking up.
Yeah. His frizzy hair and shit. And then they drive that weird ass car. They keep
I love that car. It's so great.
I love a movie with just like a very distinct car and it's just like the car kind of becomes a character, but it's like not a major point of the movie. It's just like a quirk of the movie.
But I also, I love like that little detail too of like the, you know, like the, tickets are slowly being added to at each time you see the car. There's a few more on the windshield. Like they keep it consistent, which I thought was cute. I like that they like have the same vehicle and everything for that.
Yeah. I like Clu Gulager. It's fun to see him in a movie. He's the president or whatever, the guy who's like going to be president.
Oh, yeah. Norman Mart. Yeah.
Norman Mart. Yeah. He's like the main villain, but he's in Return of the Living Dead. He's one of the main characters in that. He's the guy who owns the building that was housing the zombies or whatever, you know, the gas that gets out and stuff. And he's in The Hidden too, I'm seeing, apparently. Interesting.
I've started that movie several times and I'm like, I need to be ready to watch this. And I just need to watch it.
Oh, it's awesome.
I know. I know people love it. And I'm like, I know I would love it too. I just never got around to it. I'll watch it. I'll watch it soon.
Strap in, man. It's like, it's got kind of like Terminator vibes, but it's low budget as hell.
Yeah.
And it's all like, brightly lit and stuff, which is fun though, because it's, I don't know. I like it, man. I think it's a cool movie. The opening sequence is amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
But this movie, I mean, I thought, okay, another thing I'll praise this movie for, I liked the guy that initially hires them that's making them do videos on spec.
Yeah.
And Stephanie's like, am I crying?
He's Mo like, Fuzz.
Yeah.
And then even like at the end where he's like, well, he's like, it has to be a trilogy. All good things come in threes. And they're like, no,
celebrity deaths.
Yeah. And he, like, as they're walking out, he's like, am I crying? And he just says it like at the same, not giving it anything more. It's just like, I don't know. That was funny. It's more funny talking about it now than it was watching it, I think.
This kind of like is, I think it's trying to be a music industry version of something like, if you've ever seen Hollywood Shuffle, like it has the same vibe as like Hollywood Shuffle, the Robert Townsend movie, where it's, but that's all the movie industry. Mm-hmm. And also the movie industry of being a black man in the movie industry in like the 1980s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Cause I thought this movie came out earlier. It's 1988. But I guess that does make sense, but I feel that like, you know, Devo was not in the same place in 88 as they were in like 83 or 84.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think Freedom of Choice came out in, like, 79 or something. Like, super early. I kind of forget how early Devo popped. And so that kind of, like, skewed it a little bit for me. But, yeah, 88, almost, like, it's in that era of, like, you know, like same year Beetlejuice came out, I think. Which is wild to me.
Robbins was in Bull Durham the same year as
this. Yeah, man. Like Robbins was like picking up as well. And then, yeah, you just have this like goofy ass movie that maybe they shot it like in like 86 or something. And it kind of sat around for a year.
I don't know. I mean, it unfortunately it completely does not predict grunge at all. No. Like it's so wrong about the future, you know, it's not. And it's like, it seems some of their ideas and stuff seem like it was like they came up with the ideas when they wrote the movie in the early 80s and then didn't change them. It's like you're saying, sort of. But then, yeah, it's just like it just, I don't know. I think it could have been updated at the last, I don't know, been more. Well,
I don't know, because like I was watching MTV in, let's see, in 94, I was 13. And when did Never Mind come out, like
92.
I was like 10 or 11 years old, I remember. And I was watching MTV a lot at the time, and you'd have stuff like White Trash, Skid Row, Ugly Kid Joe, stuff like that that was on, which is very much to me in line with a little bit of this, but also more like the Bill and Ted movies, and which are also like pre-grunge. But like having Nirvana come on television was like something completely different than all that shit. And I think it took a lot of people by surprise. And so there's really no way that you could kind of predict that, because people thought it was still going to be like pseudo hair metal shit that was like maybe a little bit more trashy and
fair
stuff.
Enough.
But
I just think that it should have been, it would have been better if it would have been like a punk band or something and use a real band maybe instead of, I mean, what they did is fine with the tell me again, what's
the Swanky Modes.
The Swanky Modes. I mean, I guess it's fine. It was a baffling.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
It was a baffling choice. Sorry, go ahead.
What were you No. I just, that's what I was going to say is I was looking around earlier and looking at music and just came across this. Someone had a cassette tape of the soundtrack for sale on eBay for like $20, but it was like, the Swanky Modes songs mainly. And then like the Devo song was on there, but it was mainly just the like, you know, five or six songs of theirs. But I saw that they were credited actually as the Swanky Modes. So I didn't realize that they actually like recorded those songs, I guess, under the name or
for this movie.
For the movie. Right.
I know that they're like known for something else. I'm just not familiar with them, but
yeah,
I've heard people talk about like, oh yeah, it's like so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm like, I don't know who they are. They're the Swanky Modes to me.
Yeah, exactly. But, well, and then like, also with the Swanky Modes, I just have to say, like, one of my other favorite things is their little, like, handshake and dances to the Swanky Modes in this movie. Like, the rooftop dance scene, I love.
Yeah, that's a great scene. But at the very beginning, they do this, like, very elaborate handshake thing where they're in the security thing. Mm-hmm. And I introduced my brother to this around the time that I saw it for the first time. And he also has, like, fond memories of it. And I've always wanted to, with him, learn that whole handshake scene.
Yeah, it's great.
It's fucking awesome. But he does, his thing that he remembers is doing the alphabet in sign language backwards, which we have also not done, but
yes, that was one of the biggest things I remembered from like the first time I saw it. Cause I was like, who does that? And who can memorize that?
You know, had like, to memorize that for that one scene in this like fucking movie.
Yeah.
So
are they friends in real life?
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah,
they've been in a bunch of stuff together. Like,
yeah.
I know they're both like left-leaning, punk-adjacent actors.
I'm pretty sure Cusack was like BFFs with Jeremy Piven, but I think him and Robbins had like...
Yeah, they've done quite a few movies together.
Yeah.
I can't think of any, or have worked together on several projects, but they run around in the same circles.
Are you, or Liz... Are either of you into Tim Robbins at all? Like, does he matter in any way to you?
I mean, I grew up like Hudsucker Proxy was a huge one for us. Mm-hmm.
That's a good, okay. I forgot. Yeah. No, me too. I love Hudsucker Proxy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great in that. That's one where I first really noticed him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bob Roberts.
What else?
I watched again.
Bob Roberts.
Recently. Very good movie.
We were just talking about that. Neither of us, we started it like late at night or something and we just couldn't, it was too late, you know, but I need to go back and watch that, you know.
I think a mutual friend of ours showed me that back when I had different politics and I still thought it was pretty good. But I watched it again recently and holds up. I think it's really good. I think it really, I watched it kind of, maybe post, like right after Trump got elected, maybe a year or three after. But, you know, for something that came out, I think in the late 90s, it really, it's kind of like that Tanner 88 thing that Altman did.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like predictive of like what's to come and how like shitty politics is and everything else. And even, and pokes a lot of fun at like SNL and how they, you know, will put on a conservative. And this was, After like Trump had been on SNL when he was like running for office and shit. And they're like, yeah, you're just going to put him on fucking SNL one night and have him do the Drake song and, you know, treat him like he's not this fucking awful thing for this country and give him a platform and everything. So, no, very good movie.
Cool.
Highly recommended if you can find it.
Yeah. I like The Player too.
Yeah. The Player, another Altman.
Remembered that movie. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hudsucker Proxy. I haven't seen that movie in years, but I mean, I can quote large sections of it. I know if I watched it today, I mean, that is a movie that, yeah, I had it on VHS. And just watched it over and over and over and over again. It's definitely the Paul Newman movie I've seen the most in my life.
But he's also in, of course, you know, Shawshank was like, you know, which I guess I didn't see that movie until after I saw a clip on the Oscars because I didn't know it was a Stephen King thing. And now that's like a classic movie, you know, from cable runs.
Yeah.
So
I definitely loved it when I was a kid. Have you seen Shawshank, Liz?
You're going to out me like that. No, I haven't. I've seen parts of it. I feel like I remember seeing parts of it at church camp growing up. Like, I remember it being played, but I don't think I've sat through it from beginning to end, though.
It's like whatever, I don't know what you would call like what, you know, it used to be called a chick flick, but it's like one for guys where it's like guys get in touch with their feelings and it's about positive male friendships. And
yeah,
like it's
well, one that's of those cute. Movies. I'm here for that.
Yeah. It's one of those movies where it's like in the face of like really horrible shit, having a really like close friend.
It is like an epic bromance.
It really is.
Between Robbins and Morgan Freeman. Yeah. It's a pretty good movie. You know, I'd be down to watch that sometime. Liz hasn't seen crazy stuff. Like Liz is my age. She hasn't seen Forrest Gump.
I have seen the majority of it. So, okay, let me just preface so all of this. He's going to make me sound like I haven't seen anything, but I have like a very obscure, like I've seen a lot of weird random stuff, but then there's a lot of like classics that I have not seen. So I even out.
I mean, I'm that way too. There'll be things that's like, oh, you've never seen that? I'm like, nah. You know, or some big movie from 10 years ago. It's just like, no, I never saw it.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying Forrest Gump, we were like 10 in that movie.
Yeah, man, but my, like, I remember was like, there were some scenes in that that were questionable. And I remember my mom, like, I think it was like, does she like take her bra off or something?
She's like naked playing a guitar for like a second.
I think there was something about a bra that potentially may have been like a possible trigger that I couldn't see it for. But it's like, then you're telling me that. You know, she would feel awful now. I mean, she would say that she didn't mean to.
That's such like a squishy, like boomer movie though. That's like, yeah, I don't know. That's everyone like
built for your mom and dad, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, if you go to, there's a Fisherman's
Wharf. Oh, I mean, they watched it. We that's just
like
couldn't.
A movie for your parents to take you to and be like, see, this is, you know.
It was just like
The Wonder Years and stuff like you know.
There were just some adult movies that it was like, you know, like Pretty Woman and like that both came out. And I was just like just young enough where it wasn't quite old enough to watch those with mom and dad. And like you were just old enough where like you understand enough that it's not appropriate to show a child probably was the, I don't know. I was very sheltered for a long time.
Yeah, but there is like some there's like swearing in Forrest Gump, you know. Like Abby Hoffman saying like Viet fucking Nam and shit, but it's so mild though. It's like,
well, yeah. But also I will just say, my very first movie that I was taken to in the theaters as an infant was Rocky Horror Picture Show. So
wow.
Like it, and then I wasn't allowed to watch like Care Bears or My Little Ponies or anything growing up. So I have like a very like, it explains itself.
That's
but
very
if
wild.
You're going to out me on your podcast, then I'm going to defend myself.
Well, I just think it's odd that you've never seen Forrest Gump. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, by this point, I probably have seen like 80 to 90% of it.
Fair enough.
And I ate in the restaurant on a school trip in high school in
Hawaii. Where'd you go? Hawaii? The Hawaiian one?
Yeah, the Bubba Gumps or whatever.
There's a guy I know who worked at the one at Fisherman's Wharf for like at least like 8 years or something.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really putting in some time.
Yep. That is like, and if you're familiar with Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco and any of the restaurants there, you'll know that a lot of their shit is like shipped in. It's the same company that ships food to your high school for cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
It's canned, you know, clam and that clam chowder. It's all fake. It's all fucking window dressing.
Gross.
So, yeah, it's disgusting. So, but it is like a perfect, like, boomer, like, oh, we're going to San Francisco and we're going to Bubba Gump's. And it's like right next to the Hard Rock Cafe and
in Cracker Barrel.
There's no Cracker Barrel in SF, thankfully. there was a Joe's Crab Shack for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those.
Yeah. And There was a Hooters over
Joe's
there.
Crab Shack. I've only eaten there like once, but
I've only been there once. And but that is wild. I mean, Forrest Gump though, that was like such a huge deal.
Yeah,
it's just like everybody saw that movie.
I mean, what about Titanic?
I've never seen Titanic.
Oh, I have seen that one. I saw that one in theaters.
I saw it once in theaters. Yeah.
I never caught it. I've just never caught it. I don't know.
The Matrix?
I've seen that.
I have seen that.
I don't care for it. Fiction? Yeah. I saw that in the theater.
Are you really going to do this to me, Randy?
I feel like Pulp Fiction, there's a, you had to, like, if you weren't there for, like, the hype, it's kind of hard. It's like it's something that you may have picked up, or it's one of those things where I have a lot of friends who are like maybe 10 years younger than me or you know, around that age. And it's just like they'll watch a movie for the first time and they're like, oh, now I get the Simpsons reference. And I'm like, that's all their cultural connection to it is like a Simpsons reference. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, man, if you want to talk about all the stuff the Simpsons referenced, you know, there was me, you know, a lot of people who would just see that as a Simpsons thing, but there was like folks like me who like want to know where that came from and then would go seek it out. It's like, that's how I found out about A Clockwork Orange was Bart Simpson dressing up like Alex for Halloween, you know? And I was like, what is this fucking movie? So yeah, it was just like, I was that kid who would like have to go seek that shit out. So.
Yeah. I remember some kid on the playground was like, man, I just saw this crazy movie. He was describing Clockwork Orange and said like, you know what scene he was telling me about, you know? And I was just like, whoa. It's like blowing my mind. Like, this sounds insane. Like, I can't wait to be an adult. I can access all this media, you know?
Well, I wasn't allowed to.
Maybe way too young. The movie's like not for kids. And no, not just because of the content. It's just like not intellectually enough for children.
I was in the fourth grade when that all came about, when I found out about it and I got obsessed with it. And I, of course, my parents were like, you are not watching this, but I did get the soundtrack and I listened to the soundtrack endlessly. And that's the Wendy Carlos Beethoven electronic, like on the Moog, synthesizer. It was like, just wore that fucking tape out. So
speaking of scores, what'd you think about the Fishbone score on the, once I saw Score by Fishbone, I was listening for it. It was scant, but there was a few chase scenes where ska kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I'm just trying to bring us back to tape heads, guys. We strayed pretty far away, but
so
that's good.
I was looking. So at this point by Tape Heads, he'd already done The Sure Thing, Cusack, and Better Off Dead, and One Crazy Summer. So he's had like, you know, he had had three good hits by that point. So he was at least like pretty well known.
Yeah. And again, I don't know the whole like backstory to this. And I know again, what kind of like Mike Nesmith was doing around this time and what he was trying to push. And it was like him and George Harrison were both kind of doing like putting their time into movies. Cause like,
Harrison one of them produced Pow Wow Highway. Is that George Harrison?
That's George Harrison. That okay. That's Handmade Films.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That one is also Repo Man adjacent, so I get them confused.
Yeah.
Because it's like the producer of Repo Man directed that movie.
Yeah, but it was Harrison, and then Harrison also did like Time Bandits. So that was more his line of stuff. So Power Out Highway is a little bit more outside, but since it's an American set movie, kind of fits more into the like this kind of stuff that Nesmith was doing. But Nesmith was also like L.A., like he was doing shit in like California.
This is very LA movie for sure.
And I do want to see like what Mike Nesmith like produced. Let's see here. I'm going to do that thing again where we do the.
We're live. We're just looking.
Yeah, we're just going to like.
Silence looking stuff up.
Yeah.
Cusack had already done Say Anything, right? That's 87.
No, Say Anything was after this.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that.
89 was Say Anything.
Okay. In IMDb, they said, fun fact, Tim Robbins did Bull Durham and Cusack was in Eight Men Out.
The two baseball movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen Eight Men Out. I haven't seen it either.
I know it's about the scandal where they like tried to fix the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Yeah, after this he did that and then he went on to do Grifters also.
I've seen that one.
I love Grifters. After. Yeah. That's the dark, crazy movie. We got to watch that again. We're talking about watching that forever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic too. I mean, I feel like his earlier years, he did a pretty, like, he got a few good ones in before he turned into, like, the total, like, just John Cusack, chick flick magnet, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was like, Point
Blank a lot. That's amazing.
Oh, that's
huge. Worlds. Yeah.
Yeah. And you talk about a soundtrack. I mean, that one was great. I mean, honestly, I guess Cusack wasn't, like, big enough at that point, because I was going to say, I'm surprised, like, The Clash wasn't snuck into the soundtrack somewhere, because, like, almost every music, you know, that Cusack has anything to do with, they have The Clash in there somewhere.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so Nesmith did, he did Elephant Parts. That was, like, his own music video album. And then he did Time Rider, Repo Man. What is that? And then Tapeheads, I think that's the last one that he did. So just a handful of movies. Yeah. So
I don't know what Time Rider is.
Time Rider is like a time travel movie. And I know it only that it got referenced on an episode of South Park one time.
Hell yeah. Well, Repo Man is a damn classic.
Yeah.
I love. But this, not so much.
It's okay, yeah. Fred Ward is in Time Rider.
Mm. Wait, yeah. Oh, I was thinking Fred Willard for a second.
Oh, no.
Whoa. Gotta check that thing out then, for sure.
But
all right. Time Rider, yeah, I'm looking Time at Rider. It right now. There it is.
All right, so should we take a break and then come back with a big roundup?
You know what? Let's do that, Will.
All right, back right after this.
All right.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever endured a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Hey everybody, my name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like what kind of ridic are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay, all from our very real hot tub.
Oh yeah, very real, not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome back to Cathode Ray Mission. It's me, Reagan Bush, a.k.a. Randy, Big R Hire. Will, let's kick it to our guest, Liz. Liz, on a 0 to 5 star scale, what would you rank Tapeheads and why?
I think I'm going to give it a solid 4. I mean, I think there's definitely room for improvement, but I just feel like there's just so many gems that I can watch this at any point and find something dumb to laugh at. Like, it's just a good feel-good movie. So I feel like for that point and reason, it deserves. But I will say, like, it's not perfect. I know there's room, so I'll give it a 4. I'll be realistic with my scoring.
Hell yeah. Will, kick it to you.
All right.
0 to 5.
I'm also giving this a 4 stars. I know it's not a perfect movie, but I do like this movie quite a bit. The Roscoe's chicken and waffle scene alone is something that's
It's classic.
It is such a highlight. I sometimes just show people that scene. It's so stupid and funny. So 4 stars from me.
Randy. What do you think, Randy?
I'm gonna
Let's
give
hear it.
2.5 stars. I don't like this movie. It's like there's a lot of other movies that have chaotic energy like this that I do like, I get, but like I don't like Minute Work, for instance.
Yeah.
That's another movie where it's like I just
Or what about Exit
or to OC Eden? And Stigs. I don't like that. I mean, yeah, I don't like Exit to Eden either. Yeah, like, so I don't know. This movie is not funny to me. I don't know. It's interesting. And I love that Liz loves it. I like that you like it too, Will. But it's just not my deal. Yeah, I wish it was, but it's
I appreciate
not.
You giving it a good try.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth it. I know it's not for everyone. I know like everyone I show this to, it's going to be like either you're going to like it or you're just going to not be interested in it. So it's one that I will bring up to people, but I'm not going to make anyone watch it.
Right.
But it's like, if you're into kind of this musical era, if you're into the music video thing, if you're into video production as I was, mm-hmm. it's definitely kind of like just a movie tailor-made for some set of people.
Yeah.
But as far as recommendations, Liz, do you have anything recommended for people who maybe saw this and want to check out something similar?
Oh, geez. I don't even know. That's catching me off guard. I'm sure I do, and I can't think of anything right now. I'm sorry, I fail.
That's fine. I got one.
Yeah, let's hear yours.
It is a weird-ass Christopher Guest movie called The Big Picture with Kevin Bacon. Also about a guy who makes movies and music videos. Came out around the same time, maybe like, I want to say like 91, maybe at the latest. But also kind of the same energy, but not as like quirky, not as like a little bit more polished, not too much more polished, but a little bit more. But yeah, the big picture. Oh, 1989, year after this. So around the same era.
Never seen it.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon, Jennifer Jason Leigh, directed by Christopher Guest. So
crazy.
Yeah, I caught it on television one time. And you know, it's like one of those early post Spinal Tap Christopher Guest movies, and a lot of his folks kind of show up, I think, in there. A lot of little vignettes, as far as like little short films and stuff that they make. Again, about movie making in the late 80s around this same time. So
I'll stick with the Cusack theme and do a wild card here and just say, if you want a more, it's kind of known, Road to Wellville is a great movie. Yeah, okay. If you haven't checked it out for a Cusack movie that maybe isn't as well known, but also has a great star studded cast as well. And, is a fun one to watch if you haven't seen that one.
Yeah, and you get him doing something kind of different too. Yeah, that's a good one to recommend.
Shit.
Where he's like also out of his like typical like romance rom-com character. So
Dana Carvey's in that movie too.
Yes, and so is the little boy from Gemo.
Oh, really?
He's the one that plays Dana Carvey as a kid, as a child.
Oh, man, wow.
Yeah, I don't know his name, but that weird,
Jacob, awkward kid, something. Anyway. I would like to recommend Be Kind, Rewind, a movie I saw once that I kind of liked. I don't know. Have you seen that, Will?
I haven't. I know that's Gondry's, one of his like last big movies.
Yeah, it's Mos Def and Jack Black.
Yeah.
They accidentally erase all the tapes at the video store and then just like make their own version of Ghostbusters and shit. It's like a fun, I don't know. I liked it. I saw it in theaters. I thought it was pretty fun. And then another comedy about two guys who are pretty despicable forming a crazy business that I did like is Dirty Work. I'm going to recommend.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Dirty Work is a movie that I didn't like so much when it first came out, but as time passes, it gets better and better, in my opinion. More funny.
Is that the Norm MacDonald movie?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was on the same page here. Yeah. Okay. That's yeah. I remember that one.
So I'm going to recommend Dirty Work and Be Kind Rewind.
That's excellent. Well, that's very cool. Liz, what do you got going on? Anything you want to plug as we wrap up?
I have
up
nothing here? To plug. I'm not exciting, but thank you for letting me be on your show. This has been super exciting. I've enjoyed listening to you guys. So I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for bringing this. Again, I know I've said that a few times, but I do love this movie.
Yes. Happy to bring any weird movies that I can contribute. Yeah.
excellent. It's not just me arguing with Randy about.
Right. Actually. Feel free to text me if you need backup on anything.
Randy, what do you got going on?
I know it's probably nothing. Same old business. Chat piles, doing things. We have shows that may or may not have happened or may be canceled at this point. Who knows? Or maybe who knows what's going to be happening.
But you have some badass merch that people can buy, like those cool ass t-shirts right now,
yeah,
right?
T-shirts are true. Back.
And hats?
Hats are back? Yes.
Question mark?
We have hats, t-shirts, Grimace smoking weed and stuff. And we actually have a crazy t-shirt coming out at some point that I'm really looking forward to. That's a just insane design that I have contrived, basically. I mean, I didn't do it, but I just was like, Garrett, can you do this? And he did it. And it's like, it's really dumb and it's going to be fun. It's like crazy long sleeves. I'm not going to reveal what it is now, here and now, but
yeah,
just know that there's fun merch coming from Chapo. And our album is going to be good. People are going to like it. So
excellent. Yeah, you have the new split single that just came out that I've been playing pretty regularly as I wash dishes. It's very fun.
Yeah, that's with our friends Portrayal of Guilt. They have a new album. I'll just go ahead and plug their new album coming out. Christ Fucker just came out. It's good.
Excellent. Well, very cool. I've got my normal stuff: SupDoc podcast, Nerd Rage, The Great Debates, Cathode Ray Mission, and then if you're into comedy variety shows, Talkies every first Tuesday on Zoom and Twitch. I think they're going to do a live one in October. I will not be there because I will be just coming back from Oklahoma City for a visit, seeing my new niece, going to the Circus Cemetery in Hugo, Oklahoma.
Yes, I've always wanted to go there.
Hell yeah, I'm going. I'm super excited.
I've only seen pictures, but the tombstones look badass. Yep. They look super cool.
Yeah. The whole, there's a lot
they
of
They have like
shit
pictures of like clowns and elephants and like performers. Like they're all buried there.
Yeah. It's super
very
cool.
Neat.
Super weird. The whole town is weird. Down in the southeast part of the state, wonderful part of the state. And then going to Dallas after that. Woo. Never thought I'd be going to Dallas again, but here we go.
Hell yeah. DFW.
Yep, I'll be there for a night, and then I'll fly back to Oakland. So,
fucking yes.
Well, cool. Thank you all for coming on. It's another episode.
Yeah,
it's
nice Liz. Thanks for coming.
Yeah,
on.
Thanks for having me again, guys.
Yeah, Randy, it was good. It was good to have another session with you. It's
definitely
been a while.
Big Will. We're gonna have to figure out some movies to record live in person.
I know. I got some.
I demand two live in-person recordings.
Okay, we'll do two. We'll do two. I have time for two. So I do have to have family time because I...
No, I know. We'll get in. You know.
It is going to be a very busy week.
I bet it will be. Yeah. So.
But I'll make time for people. Well, very cool. Thank you both again. Let's wrap this up. Let's get on with our Saturday for a long weekend that we're celebrating. A little peek behind the curtain. We recorded this in batches, and this is the last one of the day. So
it's Labor Day weekend. I got to go to work now, but I got tomorrow off. So let's
roll.
Whole weekend off. Monday sort of have off. I have a light load on Monday. So
that's good.
Indeed.
Very cool. All right. Liz, again, thank you. Randy, thank you.
Thank you. Big Willie style. Until next time.
Till next time.
Goodbye.